1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we'll be reading down through chapter 2, verse 11. 1 John 1:5. Hear now the word of the Lord. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Dear congregation, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. As we come back into our series on 1 John, I want to note that the epistle of 1 John is notoriously difficult to outline. The structure of this epistle is hard to find for many commentators. The apostle writes with a kind of hurried circularity, raising subjects and then returning to them again at later points, only to leave them again and then return to them again. This has led some commentators to propose that there is actually no structure, no outline to John's first letter, his first epistle, at all. It's just a disorganized loci communes, a commonplace book, a spiritual train of consciousness. It's inspired and it's profitable, no doubt, but it's jumbled and it's scattered all the same. Trying to find an outline or a structure for it is of no avail. The task of discerning the structure or of providing an outline of 1 John is not helped by the chapter and verse divisions in our modern Bibles. Remember, when the scriptures were originally written, they didn't have chapter numbers. They didn't have verse numbers. The Greek Testament was originally written in all capital letters with no spaces, no punctuation marks, and no paragraph indicators. Chapter numbers began to appear in the 13th century, and verse numbers were added in after the invention of printing during the Reformation in the 16th century. Often, the actual divisions of topics, sections, subsections, and units don't line up at all with our chapter numbering or our versification, and so this complicates things. We must therefore pay attention to the content itself if we want to determine what the structure of the letter is. Now, while John's first epistle is not as tightly structured as his gospel is, or as Paul's epistles to the Romans or to the Ephesians, where there's a clear structure, a clear outline that can be discerned, it's a gross overstatement to say that it lacks any structure at all. The divisions of this letter are discernible by the content being talked about itself. After John gives his preface or his prologue in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1, wherein he declares to his readers the incarnation of the eternal Word, who is incarnate to restore fallen man into fellowship with God, and where he gives his purpose for writing to these Christians, that their joy may be full, John then begins a new section which spans from verse 5 of chapter 1 into verse 11 of chapter 2. Our goal this morning is to take a kind of mile-high survey of this text, of this section, looking at its themes, looking at its topics, noticing its own internal structure and how this section fits together. In following sermons, we'll zoom in to the subsections and into the units within the broader section that we are covering this morning. I think this section centers on the theme of walking. That's the main theme, walking. Those who claim fellowship with God but walk in darkness are liars, the text says in verse 6. They do not the truth. Those who have fellowship with God and with the church are those who walk in the light, verse 7. Now, John isn't talking about those who go out for exercise during the day versus those who go out for exercise during the night. In Scripture, light and darkness are often used metaphorically for good and for evil, for holiness and wickedness, for purity and impurity, for wisdom and for foolishness. And in Greek, not just the New Testament, but outside of the New Testament and Greek literature, the term walk, peripatein, not only describes the physical action of walking, but is also used figuratively to describe one's lifestyle, one's conduct, one's habits, who one is. This is how Paul uses this term in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this from Paul. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." This isn't how saints walk, he's saying. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk therefore as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord." So for Paul, walking as the children of light looks like following God. It looks like obeying him, doing what's acceptable to him, pleasing him. It looks like living a life of sacrificial love, just as Christ did, and bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit in daily life. Walking in darkness for Paul is doing the opposite of that. It's living a lifestyle of disobedient disregard for God's commandments. And that's what the same point that John is making here. To walk in the light for John is to keep his, that's God's, commandments. Chapter 2, verse 3. Anyone who says he knows God but doesn't keep his commandments, John says, is a liar. Chapter 2, verse 5. There's no truth in him at all. Just as there's no darkness in God at all, so there's no truth in the one who says that he has fellowship with God while walking in darkness, while disobeying God. To walk in the light is to keep God's old and new commandment, which is summated as love the brethren. This is what it looks like to walk in the light and to keep his commandments, love for our brothers. In verses 9 through 11 of chapter 2, John says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." He says he's in the light, but his lifestyle shows, his conduct shows, his walking shows, his hatred of his brother shows that he's actually in the darkness even until now, no matter what he says. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." The kind of walking, how you could define this walking, what it means to walk in the light, is found in the middle of this section. Walking in the light looks like abiding in and walking like Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 6, John says, "He that saith he abideth in him," that is in Jesus Christ, "ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So you see, both John and Paul have the same message here, which is, as God's children, Christians are light in the Lord Jesus. And as such, they must walk as children of light. If you're in the light, then you must walk in the light. Walking in the light is abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in him, in whom we have been made to be light. John's concern here is holiness in the church. The church's holiness, these Christians' holiness. That is righteous living unto God before the world. But when we talk about holiness, and when the scriptures talk about holiness, we can never talk about holiness or consider it apart from Jesus Christ. It's only through union with Jesus Christ that our darkness is dispelled, that we become light. That's only through union with him. We walk in the light as we walk in Christ. It all comes back down to union with Christ. It is his light in and through us that we are to walk in. God is light. We walk in the light by walking in union with Christ because Christ is God incarnate. We walk in union with Jesus Christ. When we walk in union with Jesus Christ, we walk as he walked. We walk in obedience. We walk in light. We walk in life. We walk in love. Jesus is eternally united to God, and we are united to him through faith. He is the light, which shineth in the darkness, John says in his gospel in chapter 1, verse 5 of his gospel. He is that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, we saw in the prologue. So united to him, united to Christ, we live out of his example. We live in and through and out of him. He is the light which shineth in the darkness. Jesus is the true example of love. He is the one who came down to be the propitiation for our sins. So walking as Jesus walked can't be done apart from abiding in him. Abiding in him. That word means living in him, dwelling in him. We love because he first loved us. That's where our love flows from Christ. We obey God because he obeys his Father. Walking in the light can't be viewed as something that's separate from or in addition to our union with Jesus. That's when we get in all sorts of trouble. Rather, walking in the light flows from or flows out of our union with Christ. So John doesn't leave us in the dark as to what it means to walk in the light. The concrete example that he gives us of such walking, of what walking in the light looks like, is the Lord Jesus. Good theologians often point out that the goal of Christian theology is, or at least it should be, thinking God's thoughts after him. To think God's thoughts after him. We might say that the goal of Christian ethics is to live Christ's life after him. That is, an imitation of Christ. But more than this, it's not just living an imitation of him. It's to live our lives in and through Jesus, abiding in him. United to him, according to Christ's example, in Christ's name, and also by Christ's power. We are connected to him as branches on a vine. This is what it means to abide in Christ. The topics of light and dark, of sin and cleansing, of obedience and love, revolve around in this section, abiding in Jesus Christ and walking as he walked. So how do we know that we are in him, that we are in Christ? Well, when God's love is perfected in us and we keep his word, that's how we know. How do we know that we are walking in the light? When we abide in him and when we imitate him. How do we know that we aren't deceiving ourselves about having fellowship with God? Well, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we know that we are not deceiving ourselves. We know that we know God when we keep his commandments, John says. That is, when we walk as Jesus walked, in and through Jesus, by faith. The theme of light and darkness is prominent in this section, and it's introduced in verse 5 of chapter 1, where we read, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now, God isn't one light among many other lights. Nor does the text say that God simply has light. He possesses light. John tells us that the message that he heard from Jesus is this: God is light. That means he's contrary to all that is darkness. All that is darkness. God is not more light than he is darkness. Rather, there's no darkness in him at all. Not even one darkness, is literally what the Greek text says. God is therefore the definition of light. He's the definition of light. If one has fellowship with this God, who is light, then it follows that he will walk in the light if he has fellowship with God, who is light. It's a blatant contradiction, John says, to claim fellowship with the light while walking in the darkness. Again, Jesus is the example. He's the example that we are given. If one abides in him, they will follow his example. Jesus Christ is light incarnate. He walked in the light, in fellowship with God, his Father. There was no darkness in him at all. He is the God-man. He is God incarnate. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We obviously can't say the same about ourselves, can we? God is light. In him is no darkness at all. But in us, when we look at ourselves, there's a mixture of darkness in with the light, as Christians even. There's a mixture of darkness and light within us. There's sin. We see sin. The word sin appears over 20 times in John's first epistle. 8 of those, so that's a big chunk, 8 of those occurrences are clustered in our text this morning, chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 11. We first see sin used in verse 7 of chapter 1, where John says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." God is light, and those who have fellowship with him must walk in the light. That's what having fellowship with God looks like. So then, what should the children of light do about the darkness that we find within ourselves? Well, those who walk in darkness, what do? They might claim to have fellowship with God, but they deny, they conceal their sins. What solution are we given as those who walk in the light for our sin, for our darkness? Those who walk in the light are those who confess their sins. They are those who recognize that they have an advocate with the Father, a mediator between them and God, who is also the propitiation for their sins. Walking in the light means bringing our darkness to him who is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Walking in the light means confessing our sins to him who is able to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all sin with his own blood. Walking in the light means allowing him who is light to shine upon the darkness of our sin, exposing it. The darkness of our sin and our unrighteousness, so that he might dispel our darkness. He might dispel it by his own light. Those who walk in darkness are those who have no fellowship with God. They don't confess their sins to God. They don't walk with him. They don't walk as Jesus walked. They don't confess their sins. They don't come to his Son for cleansing, for forgiveness. They don't come to him as a propitiation. Rather, they hide their sin. They deny their sin. They cling to it. They walk in it. They love it. When God's light shines on them, when it does expose their sin, what do? They call God a liar by concealing, by denying, by hiding. They don't allow him who is the light to transform them and to conform them into the image of his Son, Jesus. They don't abide in Jesus. They don't walk as he walked. Rather, they guard their darkness. They don't allow God's light to dispel it. The faithful confess their sin. Those who walk in the light continue to walk in the light. One of the ways they do it is by bringing their darkness into the light. Peter Lighthart points out in his commentary that the word sin disappears from this section after verse 2 of chapter 2. The word sin disappears from the section after chapter 2, verse 2, where we read, "He is the propitiation the blood atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What happens spiritually, to those who walk in the light happens visually to the text itself, Peter Lighthart points out. Sin is cleansed from the text, just as sin is cleansed from those who confess it to God. Walking in the light means being sinless, in other words. That's what it means. It means being sinless. Notice how sin is talked about towards the end of the book. Chapter 3, whoever abideth in him, in Christ, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse 9 of chapter 3, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Walking in the light means being sinless. If you and I walk in the light, we do not sin. We cannot sin. We've truly been born of God. So for John, there's this startling absence of sin from the Christian life. How is it absent? Why is it absent? How could this possibly be? It's absent because it's confessed. It's absent because it's been removed in Christ. It's been brought to the light the darkness has, and it's been dispelled. This doesn't mean, obviously, that the Christian never commits sin, and we'll cover that in more depth and detail as we get to those passages in our exposition. This doesn't mean that the Christian never commits a single sin. But when he does, the Christian comes into the light. He confesses that sin to God, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins are removed in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins. His blood atones for our sins. It cleanses us from all our sin. And now our sins, in the sight of God, no longer have dominion over us. They no longer can enslave us, that we must walk shackled in them. We are now light in the Lord Jesus, Ephesians 5, 8. We walk as he walked. We walk in the light. We walk confessing our sins, receiving cleansing and forgiveness from God. And through abiding union in and with Jesus, we therefore are able to keep God's commandment to love the brethren. You see the pattern. Called, cleansed, and consecrated to communion with God, we have fellowship with him. And as such, we are then commissioned and empowered to faithful love and obedience. Confession brings our sins into the light where they are overcome. That's why the confession of sin is so important in our service. It brings our sins into the light where they are conquered, where they are overcome. The deluge of Christ's blood, the flood of his blood, washes them away. Being forgiven and being cleansed, we are then restored to God's fellowship, where we are able to walk in obedience to God and love for the brethren, unencumbered by sin any longer. We can freely love the brethren as God in Christ has loved us. That's what it means to walk in the light. So John writes, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Hatred of our brother is sin. It's heart murder. Sin blinds us. It blinds us. It places us in the dark. It darkens our eyes. It leaves us to stumble around in the dark. It puts stumbling blocks before us. But when we confess our sin, we are brought into the light. We are made to see clearly. We are able to abide in Christ, who is himself the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. In him, in Christ, our path is illuminated. We now know how to walk. We know where to walk. We know the right way of walking, the path of righteousness, namely in Christ's footsteps, walking as he walked, walking like Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, Peter tells us in chapter 2. Left to ourselves, again, this obviously doesn't describe us. We are not able to walk exactly as Christ walked. We sin. We blind ourselves by the darkness, by unrighteousness, by sin. We stumble around in the dark, continuing to hate our brother, speak lies, and break God's commandments. Jesus was in perfect fellowship with his Father. He is light as God is light. But we claim to have fellowship with God, his Father and our Father. And darkness often fills our minds, it fills our hearts, it fills our hands. Confession is the solution. We confess our sin, and this dispels the darkness from within us. That's what it means that God is light. God is light in such a way that he's able to dispel the darkness within you and I. He is able to illuminate our path. He's able to bring life out of darkness. We are recreated in him, in Christ, as children of light, in him who is the light of men. Our sins are cleansed by his blood. We confess our sins to him, and we are immediately forgiven. What remains? Is there darkness remaining? Is there sin remaining in our life? No. All that remains now is light. By abiding in the light, by abiding in Christ, through faith, through confession, through receiving absolution and forgiveness, we can now walk as he walked, in love rather than hatred, in obedience rather than disobedience. Jesus is the example. As he loved us when we did not love him, so we are called to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. As Jesus laid down his life for us as a sacrifice to God, a propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, so too we are called to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus tells us in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's what walking in the light looks like. God has forgiven us freely in Christ. So we must be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Ephesians 4. We are to walk as Jesus walked, in fellowship with God and love for the brethren. We are enabled to do this by abiding in him, by abiding in the light, and having the darkness within us dispelled. So the basic flow of John's argument in this section is this. God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. Those who have fellowship with him are those who abide and walk in the light. What does this look like? It looks like Jesus, the one who laid down his life for us and took it up again. It looks like fellowship with God, obedience to his commands, and love for his people. It looks like confessing sin and receiving forgiveness and absolution for it. It looks like walking as Jesus walked, in the newness of resurrection life and fellowship with the Father and with the brethren. In our following studies of this section of John's letter, we hope by God's help to zoom in to the other subsections and units within this broader section that we've looked at this morning, developing more robust answers to questions like, what does it mean that God is light and without darkness? What does it mean to have fellowship with God? What is fellowship with God? What is communion with him? How does the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all sin? What does the word propitiation mean? Why is it important? What is the nature of biblical confession and its connection to absolution? What does it mean that Jesus is the propitiation not only for our sins, but also the sins of the whole world? I mean, I thought we were Calvinists. Is John not a Calvinist? What does that mean? How do we handle that? And what does brotherly love look like in practice? Those are some of the things we're going to zoom in on in our following studies. These are important questions that have biblical answers, I think are in the text there for us, but we will get to them in their place. But this morning, our main goal was to just get a sense of the section as a whole. All these important questions and concerns aside, what is John's key point in this passage? I believe it's this. Abiding in Jesus and walking in Jesus. Or abiding in the light and walking in the light. As John tells us, God is light. We know the darkness remains in us. How can we walk in the light? Well, who is the light? Jesus is the light. We must be united to him. We abide in him who is the light through faith. How can we have fellowship with him? Well, who is light? Well, there's darkness in us. Well, we need the light to dispel the darkness, to remove the darkness. Again, the answer is Jesus Christ. We confess our sins. And the blood of Jesus, who is the propitiation for our sins, washes them away. We become light by abiding in the light. When we see the darkness that's within us, the solution isn't to conceal it, it's not to deny it, it's not to hide from it, but it's rather to come to the light and be cleansed. We have fellowship with God because we have fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We abide in light because we abide in Him. We have no sin because His blood cleanses us from all sin. So as we work through this section, the remaining lessons, we have to continually come back to union with Christ. He's the answer. We love the brethren because He loved His brothers and laid down His life for them. We obey God's commandments because He obeyed all His Father's commandments. Like Paul says, our life is hid with God in Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. We're able to walk in Him because we abide in Him. Christ is where we live. Christ is our home. Our union with God and Christ is made evident by the effect. Our union with God and Christ is made evident by the effect. What does that mean? When purity shines forth in us, when we keep God's commandments, when we love Him, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, when we love the brethren, that's the evidence that we are actually united with God and Christ. It is clear that we live in Jesus when we live like Jesus. That's why He came. He was not incarnate to give us a get-out-of-hell-free card. That's not why He came. He was incarnate to pour out His blood for us upon the cross that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness. He removes the stumbling block of our sin. He doesn't just forgive us and send us on our way. He removes the stumbling block of our sin. He cleanses us and transforms us and makes us to now be children of the light. He removes that which disrupts our fellowship with Him and our fellowship with our brethren. He who was the light of life was incarnate to unite us to Himself that we might share in His light and life. He came to make us children of light. Through Jesus, dear congregation, our sin no longer prevents us from obtaining God's favor. Since we abide in Him, we can walk as He walked, in life, in light, in obedience, and in love. Let us therefore ask God daily to restore to us the joy of our salvation. Let us ask Him daily to restore to us the joy of our salvation, of our fellowship with God in Christ, and to flood us with His life and with His light, that the darkness which still remains in us would be further dispelled. Therefore, let us then rise up victorious in Christ to walk as He walked in faithful, joyous, and obedient love to God and to the brethren. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you're able, please stand as we go to God in prayer once again. Heavenly Father, we ask that would dispel the darkness which is within us. Make us like Jesus. By the power of Thy Spirit, help us to abide by faith in Christ. We might love Thee and love our brothers. Love those around us for the glory of Thy name and for the good of Thy people. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.